Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 2 of 2 in the goal, always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution unless it's a Jesus revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The supreme law of the land is the solution at a country level. The God-ordained traditional family is the solution at a family level. And a development of a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is paramount to success in the modern day. If you don't get with God and get guidance and revelation and communication from God Almighty to protect you, you will be deceived. We must keep the commandments of God in this land of liberty, or we will lose it and be swept off. That is the reality check, ladies and gentlemen. George Washington said the two fundamental necessary supports are morality and religion. And boy, howdy, that rings as true as it gets every day. And we highlight that on your radio. We want to point out the solutions, the answers, the opportunities that we, the people, have. Our greater numbers can achieve success if we will peacefully work together and follow the Prince of Peace and unite. And follow by self-governance the principles of liberty. Dr. Bradley's with me, Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his incredible website. Check out his weekly webinars and more. His collegiate series to preserve the nation is available at freedomsrisingsun.com as well. And Donald Trump has his Truth Social Media company that he cranked up. A lot of people are using it. They think it's wonderful. It's not near as developed as many of the other social media companies. He's been struggling with finances and having it, you know, whatever to keep this thing rolling. But now they say this: Truth Social Media Company is finally set to go public. Yeah, they're going to put together an IPO for social media company they say could provide Trump a lifeline, writes Matthew Goldstein. Dr. Bradley, one of the most foolish things you can do is take that company public. When you have a private company, you have a lot of control. You have a lot of liberties in your companies. And what they do and how they behave and how they act. And when you make a company go public and you offer an IPO and all this kind of stuff, number one, it's incredibly expensive to do, wasting a ton of money going public. Oftentimes, companies that aren't ready for IPOs, when they issue them, end up melting down because they were premature, etc. But my point with this is, when you go public, though, you have all kinds of regulatory red tape that literally changes the game and hamstrings most companies. If you don't believe me, go look at Dell. Didn't Michael Dell take that sucker private? Because he knew you just can't prosper when you've got to be transparent with all these different rules and red tapes and guidelines and transparency requirements. Okay, I'm not saying transparency is bad, but what I'm saying is the second this goes public, if he really gets this IPO created or followed through perfects the IPO, he will be so regulated and controlled and manipulated to where it won't become a liberty-based media company anymore, because they've designed the rules to make sure that it won't. Dr. Bradley, this is on the brink of foolishness, in my humble opinion, sir.
Well, all of your statements are risks that are there, and I think that there's all things that have got to be weighed and measured, and all of the things are burdens that now with regulatory everything's. I mean, it's just beyond measure. But I'll suggest something that I'm not suggesting he go public with it, because everything you're suggesting is a very high risk that he'll face. And if you go public with a social media company, First Amendment ought to apply, so all of these regulations should not be a big issue. But the financial regulations is where all the big money comes in. But the tempering point may be, and I'm not suggesting that it's the right point, I think Trump is kind of on the ropes financially a little bit. And he's hoping that by taking this public, there'll be a big infusion. Now, there may not be as much interest in this and as many people that want to invest in it as he might think, and that those kind of investigations and analysis need to be done in advance. But let's say he's saying, I need a cash inflow. I need to put an infusion into the system. It's like a blood transfusion. And you look, for example, and I don't know if you want to go down this path, you look at the $450 million, roughly. I don't know what it is. I don't know if anybody really knows, but it's nearly half a billion.
Half a billion in round numbers.
Half
right?
a billion, yeah. That this absolutely egregious violation of the Eighth Amendment.
This is criminal, though. Yeah, it's a violation of the Eighth Amendment. It's also a violation, due process and everything else. Hey, how come he has to file a $500 million, guarantee before he can appeal? He hasn't even been convicted yet, right?
Right. It's an appeal process. I mean, this is not a fine and that's actually, got some credibility behind it. Of course, the appeal will diminish it dramatically. There's so many issues with this thing, but he can't raise it. He's not going to be able to raise a $500 million. And who's going to give him that money? A bank? No. I mean, are rich friends going to, pony up on this thing at a cocktail party? No, it's not going to happen. And so let's say they seize Trump Tower. And I don't know what Trump Tower is worth. Nobody does, really. Things are worth what people will spend on them.
The third parties evaluate worth, and whether they're factual or not, we go with them because it's the best we have. The only way you know what it's worth is whatever you can sell it for, right? So at the end of the day, a sale shows what it's worth, not any speculation or appraisal or best guess opinions, no matter what, anyway. All they are is best guess opinions by experts, supposedly. But we don't know what anything is worth until it's sold, right?
That's right. And here's the deal. New York is maybe, you talk about a double-edged sword. I mean, they may have put the razor blade to their throat and run it across their throat. Here's the deal. The large businesses in New York are going to say, the heck you say? You mean if I invest in New York in a big Trump Tower, let's say, for example, that they seize and somebody ends up buying? First of all, it's an unknown factor. You don't know what it's worth, but you're cutting New York's credibility for business operations by saying we can come in and seize. This is a communist operation, by the way. That's what Stalin did with the kulaks, landed peasantry that had their own farms back in the 1930s. He says they're ours. We're going to take them. Well, that's exactly what New York's doing with this thing. So it's, they're after Trump. Get Trump, get Trump. Letitia says this on her big election ploy. But what they've done now is they've kind of put themselves in a box. The business people, real hard-nosed business people that are making investment because they want to make money are saying, the heck you say? I'm in quicksand over here.
They're saying this is so dangerous, we're out of New York. We're leaving. They're leaving New York and California in droves, ladies and gentlemen, and Delaware. Delaware used to be a state that you could start all kinds of corporations, and people really felt like Delaware had some great law. Now that's kind of melted down. But this is going to get worse, though, because, look, the banks are supposed to evaluate what things are worth if they're going to lend on it. They need a third-party evaluation of worth by credible sources. I think they did that in this case, and they told the courts they did that. It doesn't matter. They're going after Trump regardless. But here's an interesting twist on this whole thing. Are they going to take Trump's property? Trump says he'll probably let him take it, and then he'll get it back when he wins. I think that's a very dangerous strategy. I don't see how we're allowed to go down these roads in the first place, but we are. But there's a guy by the name of Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone. He's like a financial expert. He speaks out on all kinds of topics, and he appeared on the Charlie Kirk show. That's Turning Point, Charlie Kirk, right? And he appeared on there, and he said this, 300 banks will fail in the next 24 months, he's predicting. Naturalnews.com with the piece. Our dear friends, Mike Adams and crew at Natural News, bringing this story up. Look, 300 banks to fail in the next 24 months, that is huge. And that'll ramp up to the elections and after the elections. That does not look good for the economy at all. When you're on the brink of too high of interest rates and inflation out of control, and then 300 banks fail, what will that do to the economy? If his predictions are true, Dr. Bradley, this is very, very, very concerning. Grant Cardone on Charlie Kirk made that point. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know which crystal ball he's using. And I I honestly think sometimes we create our own oh-ain't-it awfuls. So, but I haven't looked at his analysis, so I'm even guilty of this kind of thing right now.
Well, forget his analysis. What's yours?
Well, my analysis is that the economy is simply on the ropes right now. I mean, the inflationary rate is far above what we're being told. The Federal Reserve has created another bubble that's going to happen. This idea of what are we doing the Federal Reserve created the 1929 crash. They created the 2008 crash. Well, the Congress and the President helped and everything like that. But then what happened was they had the big bailouts, which created a big bubble burst. And that created a kind of a situation where everything had to do a reset, if you will. And that's probably where they're going with this anyway. So I don't know if 300 banks or not, but the bottom line is that who's going to end up taking it, you know, in the shorts on this thing? It's going to be the taxpayers.
The taxpayers.
We
for sure.
The people.
And I don't
will
care if we agree with this analysis from this gentleman. I don't even know really who Cardone is personally. So my point is whether it's this guy's predictions or anybody else's. Look, experts from all walks of life now are predicting. Look, this isn't looking good. You cannot inflate your way out of this. You cannot print a bunch of money or you'll just create more inflation. You cannot keep the interest rates too high because the economy will eventually just puke because of it. At some point, they're in a very precarious position whenever they try to deal with one aspect. I looked at gas, and gas cost me, what, $3 and either 59 or 69 cents yesterday. I can't remember which, but well above $3.50 now for a gallon of gas. That's right at the start of summer. It's likely to go higher. That's going to trigger inflation everywhere else as people won't travel and won't go to hotels and won't. I mean, the game is changing before your very, very eyes. Whether they'll do something crazy before the election or not, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. My point is every walk of life is predicting economic turmoil straight ahead, Doctor.
Well, you know, you talk about the price of gas now. That isn't the trigger of inflation. It's the creation of money that is. Now, you know that, and I know that, but the fact
That's
of the matter
right.
is, it's more
I'm
dollars
chasing
the
same. I'm just saying it'll
trigger
downstream things, though, because of inflation.
Absolutely.
Gas goes up, it triggers everything else, though, right?
Well, let me just tell you a little quick story. You know, I always got a story for something and everything.
That's perfect.
But I managed a service station in in Montana back in the 60s. The mid-60s, before I went in the service, I managed a service station. And the owner of the service station told me that he wanted, in those days we didn't have the digital signs out front and everything. We had those little A-frame things with a poster board on them and you painted on them to say what your price of gas was. Well, he told me to price the gas to bring people into the station at 39.9 a gallon.
Yep,
and I said,
just under 40 cents a gallon, people.
Okay. So I said, I won't do it. He said, what do you mean you won't do it? I'm the owner. You're the manager. Do it. I says, I won't do it. He says, why won't you do it? I says, because we're stealing from people. And he says, we're in the remote area. People will pay the price as they come through. I says, it's still wrong. He says, put it up or you're fired. So here we have gas now, 10 times that price. Is gas different? Or is it the same? It's the same. Well, other
well,
than
it's actually
stupid
it's actually
additives.
Less because getting gas is easier with greater technology and everything else. So it's actually literally should be cheaper, Doctor.
Well, there's no question. And I drive a diesel truck, for example. Diesel fuel is far less refined than regular gas. And so it's cheaper to make, but it costs more. Okay, so there's manipulation that's going on all over the place.
Yeah, and it costs more because they know primarily the corporate world uses diesel, and they know they can fleece more from the corporate world than they can from the private sector because they know that it trickles down, right? So that's the reality check on that.
But the corporate world,
go ahead.
The corporate world passes it on, though. You end up paying for it anyway.
That's right. And that's why I'm saying it trickles down, but you don't feel it as much at the consumer level. And the businesses just say, well, we'll just bake it into our prices. So it's a way to dishonestly pass that manipulative charge along and not pay the piper for it, really, right?
Okay, baseline issues. Gas is essentially the same. As you make a good point, though, about our extraction process and everything. Okay, but let's say it's basically the same. And now it costs 10 times as much. What caused that? Well, it was caused by the inflationary effort that was put in to pump more money into an economy. Now, we don't really know what's out there, what has been pumped into the economy, because they don't even publish their printing press numbers anymore. I mean, we have some rough estimates and stuff like that. But the things they're hiding, and you can't say, oh, yeah, something. I guess greed caused gas companies to raise their prices 10 times since I was managing that station in Montana back in the 60s. No, it's caused by manipulation in the financial market by a private consortium, for-profit organization that runs our economy, the Federal Reserve. You know, and this brings us full circle. If we don't have honest money, we can't be a free people. All those kinds of things are out there going on. So we have cut our own throats in so many different ways. And Ron Paul's old deal, audit the Fed, it's got to be done. It's got to be an honest, comprehensive, full bore, and then publish the results of what these people have done to our nation in the past 100 and now it's 110 years anyway, since the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And people could say, holy cow, if we had a thinking, you know, couple of gray cells to rub together in our brains, we could say, wait a minute, we've been had. We have been had at every level. And so I don't know how I got off on that gas station story, but the fact of the matter
well,
is...
Well, your point is that dishonest money, fake fiat money, is what creates inflation. Gas and some core things, fuel, food, clothing, shelter, some of these core things... really drive the price of everything else. So, hey, gas is too expensive. I'm not going to grandma's house 3 hours away now, which means that hotel doesn't have a, which means that restaurant doesn't, which means the, you know, grocery store in that area doesn't get the boom of business. All the different places that I might go on vacation don't get the money. And okay, so it backs into this discussion. You look at housing and gas and food and you go, man, I'm telling you right now, we're on the brink of meltdown because people cannot afford it. Wages are not keeping up with it, and they don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. I don't think they're ready to pull the plug, but I think they are ready to make us feel the pain. Well, we better turn that pain into activism. We better use our greater numbers to rein this stuff in, but it's not happening, is the problem, Dr. Bradley. You know, we hoped the Republicans would kind of rein this in. They promised they would. They said they'd pass individual bills, not just massive omnibus spending bills. They lied over and over and over. And then now the latest headline says this, dishonest, this is my headline, by the way, dishonest congressional negotiators unveiled a $1.2 trillion spending bill to fund the government through September. They have agreed on a final package which merges six massive spending bills together, and House Republican leaders on Thursday scheduled a vote for this morning, right now. And they violate their own self-imposed rule, requiring that lawmakers give at least 72 hours before they bring spending bills up to vote. It's a disgrace. It's all under, in my opinion, I would pin it on Mike Johnson. You know, Kevin McCarthy did this and got removed for it. Now you got Mike Johnson literally doing the same thing, but probably worse, because he's pretending that he's defending the Patriot. Government will probably shut down temporarily this weekend because they don't have time to get everything signed and everything else, but they've all sold us out once again, Doctor.
You know, it's, you ask about how bad's the economy going to be or anything else like that. I mean, you pick a subject and say, how bad's it going to get? And my answer usually is as bad as they want it to be, because they will make it to the point that they think they can push it. Whether it's an assault weapons ban in the 1990s, and they banned certain weapons, but they made it as bad as they could without getting a full-blown revolt or pushback. They're doing the same thing with the economy, with inflation. They're doing it with, they did it with COVID. I mean, for crying out, the COVID con was as bad as they could make it for what they were trying to do at the time. It will get worse in the future because they kind of insisting along. This thing with the big spending bill, again, is a total, total falsehood in how they presented how they were going to do it. We are going to be upfront, transparent. We're going, look, this, what the heck is in a $1.2 trillion bill? How could you possibly go through? I read a lot of bills. They're absolutely horrid, horrific. It's a terrible pastime. But you start looking at those things, and wheedled into those things, there's little stuff in there that ultimately and finally is going to cut our throats. Senators and congressmen are buying votes back home by stuffing stuff in there for their constituents. It's a bribery package. And by the way, senators and congressmen sell their vote too. You know, Mike Johnson probably said to some congressman that was reluctant to pass it, "Hey, look, what is your district at home need? Oh, you need that? Well, we can include that in there. Why didn't you say so?" That's how they pass bills. So
yeah,
they're buying votes back
home.
Yeah,
and would give you a little bit of money for your district, but, you know, we've got this compromising detail about you. I think you better go along, and we'll give you half of what you want just to be nice, okay? It's that kind of stuff too, Doctor.
Well, it is, and it's just, and the compromising stuff probably is who's sleeping with who and this and that and the other. I mean, it's all over the board. It's not just one thing. And that's one thing that I find very interesting, as I always go back and look at the past to say what should happen and then what we could be. And George Washington in his inaugural address talked about his administration was going to be based on both public and private virtue. And so it was a virtuous country. People, you know, in general, I know there's a lot of scoundrels out there, but you can always find exceptions. And if you make law based upon the tough cases, you're going to have bad law. But in general, the people were a virtuous people. They looked to the good book to find their direction and counsel. They were absolutely committed to those kind of, George Washington was. He said he wanted a constitutional government. Well, people today don't even think in those terms. Virtue? Hey, that has nothing. My adultery that I'm committing on the side, one might say, like a Bill Clinton, for example, has nothing whatsoever to do with my leadership skills and what I'm doing there. Yeah, it really does. Yeah, you need virtue everywhere. If your wife can't trust you, how can we trust them? And all these kind of things that are bubbling about right now are based upon a corrupt system. And we need to go back to what we originally had. That's what I keep trying to tell people.
The good news is, ladies and gentlemen, is we have, as Dr. Bradley highlights, the back trail. We have the solution. When it comes to God, you know what? We've got the scriptures. We've got God's law. When it comes to family, we know what God's ordained family looks like. It was intact for literally millennia. Okay, we know what a proper role of government looks like. The grand experiment for the founding fathers is the most successful solution we've ever had, balancing the proper role of government in the world. It's a unique form of government that's never been attempted by anybody to look to God first and to use checks and balances to chain people down so they don't gain too much power. The system worked and works, and the further we've fallen away from it, from a religious, from a traditionalist viewpoints, the worse it's become. And the answer is to look at that back trail, and the answer is to go back to this God, family, country agenda. It's very, very simple. It isn't complex. It isn't complicated. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You just need to know to keep God's laws, be a self-governed person, and insist those around you, including those whom you've decided should represent you, do the same. And if they don't, respectfully, peacefully, within the rule of law, move them out of the way. And if they're guilty of criminal acts, prosecute to the fullest extent of the law so that it doesn't happen again. Okay, we've got the solutions before us. The problem is everybody's divided and everybody wants to build a better mousetrap and thinks they've got a better plan. They don't have a better plan. This is the only time-tested plan that has proven successful in the history of the world that we can point to, Doctor.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I always tell people, and truthfully, that I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree or the sharpest tool in the drawer, or whatever you want to say, but things are simple. God set this up as a simple kind of thing, okay? And it's for the common folk, for all of us to be able to do this. Maybe we can talk more about this when we get back.
You got
this
it.
Idea
we'll
of
talk,
virtue.
We'll talk more about virtue, ladies and gentlemen. We've also want to talk about election interference by Google, proven now. They've been meddling in the elections. Yeah, we've known it for a long time, but more evidence coming out every day to document the truths we've been telling. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. The U.S. is now pressing for a ceasefire in Gaza before the United Nations. Submitting a draft resolution this week, Secretary of State Antony Blinken made the announcement while visiting with Arab leaders in Egypt on Thursday. He's set to visit leaders in Israel Friday. The UN Security Council will vote Friday on the new U.S. ceasefire resolution. Americans are still shelling out money for homes despite soaring interest rates. Home sales in the U.S. reached their highest level in a year in February.
The National Association of Realtors revealed that existing home sales surged by almost 10%. Compared to the previous month. This marks the second consecutive month of increased sales, indicating a rebound from the fall's decline, which was attributed to those soaring mortgage rates. I'm John Schaefer.
U.S. lawmakers have put forth a $1.2 trillion government funding proposal as a potential solution to a looming partial government shutdown. Both the House and Senate must approve the bill by the end of Friday to prevent at least a temporary funding gap. Departments at risk of facing funding shortages include defense, education, and the legislative branch. New York's Attorney General gearing up to seize some of Donald Trump's properties if he can't come up with a big amount of bond money. USA's Laura Winters.
Donald Trump's golf course and a large estate he owns in Westchester County could be seized by New York Attorney General Letitia James. She's filed the preliminary paperwork in case Trump can't post the $500 million bond he needs in order to appeal his civil fraud judgment.
Apple is being sued for alleged antitrust law violations. The lawsuit filed by the Department of Justice, along with 16 state and district attorneys general, claims Apple has monopolized the smartphone market by blocking competitors from accessing hardware and software features of the iPhone. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The break at the bottom of the hour, we were talking about the necessity of virtue in order for a people to be free. And I know we've got a lot more to talk about in the final half an hour, so I won't belabor the point, but let me just offer a few tidbits of wisdom the American Founding Fathers offered at the beginning of the establishment of this republic. Ben Franklin, don't need to belabor the point, but he was not a dirty old man. He was not a deist and all those kind of things. He had a very sound religious foundation. But he said in 1787, "Let me add that only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." So here we have a nation that can't create enough laws to keep the lid on everything, and it gets worse and worse constantly. We have those that lead the nation at the center of corruption, and we are indeed having a lot of masters. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And maybe a couple of quick questions of Sam Adams, statements, the father of the American Revolution. So this goes back to the very foundations of the nation. Adams said, "The sum of it all, if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then shall we both deserve and enjoy it. While, on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall in reality be the most abject slaves." Then one more from Sam Adams, father of the American Revolution. "I thank God that I have lived to see my country independent and free. She may long enjoy her independence and freedom if she will. It depends on her virtue." So probably enough said. I mean, there's the wisdom of the founding.
Never enough said, but we can leave it alone for now. But we continue to hammer that theme, and we've done so for more than 25 years. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because it is the truth. We're truth tellers. Because it is the solution. And we never want to bring people to the brink of frustration and anger because we have a problem, and we don't advocate for solutions. See, a lot of the talk show hosts out there, Liberty Roundtable is very unique. Most shows, they don't really bring you to the solutions. Oh, they tell you, oh, ain't that awful, or oh, how horrible this is, or the world's ending, or it's crisis time, or panic, or get angry, or whatever. But they don't really drill into the solutions. And we don't want to bring up a problem. We don't want to voice a complaint without an answer for it. And that's one of the keys to Liberty Roundtable Live that we're uniquely known for. More hosts, more talkers, more experts, more pundits, more whatever you want to call them, are starting to focus on the solutions. But they're a day late and a dollar short. We've been doing this forever. I'll give you a quick example to make the point. When we put a headline together, our headline has really all the details you need. Even though it doesn't flesh out the story entirely, you're not missing core things. What these other people do is they all do it for money, and they do it for clicks. It's clickbait almost. What they want you to do is they want to give you a vague headline enough to where you want to click to read more. See, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in getting the information out to the people. Sure, it's great if you click more. It'd make me money, more money if you clicked more, all that stuff. But I want you to have the facts. So there's a headline that says this: huge conservative star out at Daily Wire. That's the headline. Well, you know enough to go, wow, really? Who is it? What's going on? What? But that headline is designed just to make you click and spend time. And they're teasing you with that because they really, I mean, they want you to know this, but they have a different agenda, which is get you on their page, have you, you know, entertain their advertisers, read other things, keep you on their site. Okay, it's all about that. Okay, but for me, it's different. So my headline says this. Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. CEO announced on X. Now think about that headline. You know it's the CEO of Daily Wire. You know that Daily Wire and Candace Owens, that's the person they've split. And you know where I got the headline. It came out on Twitter or X. Okay? Think about the difference in that headline. We have different agendas and different goals. I want you to quickly know this fact. And then I want you to be able to move on with that knowledge about your day. I don't need to have you spend forever. Hopefully you believe enough in what we do and say to fund us and support us and read and do all these things. But I don't want to force you to do that. I don't have this agenda. My goal is news. And so I want to make sure you know. So Candace Owens and Daily Wire are no longer together. Well, speaking of that, Charlie Kirk and crew had an event in Memphis, Tennessee a day and a half ago. And they issued over 2,000. At Turning Point USA, they issued over 2,000 tickets to attend this university event where Kyle Rittenhouse was speaking. Well, it turns out the university at the last minute revoked all the tickets. And a buddy of mine, Eddie Miller, had a ticket and was there in line and got turned away. And the college reissued their own tickets. They had a 200-plus student protest. They eventually had Kyle Rittenhouse just simply walk off the stage because of the persecution that he was under. It was an absolute rout and protest, and you don't even hear about it in the mainstream press, Doctor. So these are the kind of stories with which we want to give you the details. We don't need to bait you and titillate you and this and that and the other. We're about news and solutions. What's the solutions to the problems on campus where free speech is under assault and protesters rule the day? The answer is just to take your kids out of the colleges and just shut them down because nobody's there. That's the answer. What's the answer to the Candace Owens thing and the split with Daily Wire? Well, you know, it's nice to know that they're split. We don't know why behind the scenes, but for the most part, who cares? Except for you need to know that Candace Owens is no longer with them, right? Well, here's the next one. New report alleges election interference by Google over a 16-year period. So when they tell you that we make these claims without evidence, well, now for 16-plus years, Google has been tampering with elections. The report just got released, ladies and gentlemen, by who? MRC. You say, who is that? MRC is the Media Research Council. They have a Free Speech America arm. And they basically are claiming that Google interfered in the U.S. elections 41 times since 2008 alone. You ask where I get this? Well, that's why I brought up the Daily Wire, thedailywire.com. The details are this. According to a new report from the Media Research Center, Google has been tampering with elections and engaging in election interference for at least 16 years. The Media Watchdog Group has been discussing and researching how the search algorithms are used for censorship. Yeah. It's serious. More and more evidence. Well, the Media Research Council is led by a guy by the name of Brent Bozell, who I've known for quite some time. I used to interview him in the early days of my radio career, in the early 90s and stuff like this. They're credible. They're solid as a rock. They're Christian and they're fairly mainstream. So think about this. There's a big interview about this. So they did an interview that documents the released report, etc. And they say, so listen, if that's all true, we're talking about 4 presidential cycles and another 4 midterms, right? Answer, yes. That's a lot of elections. 41 times since 2008. And I'll get into more details in a second, but I want Dr. Bradley to be able to respond to the general point on this. This is a mainstream organization now doubling down about this, that Google interfered over and over in U.S. elections since 2008. I'm not saying it didn't happen before. I'm just saying their research goes back to 2008 at this point. Doctor?
Well, you know, this is tangential maybe, but it's about Google. You know, in 4 days, Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to announce his vice presidential running mate. It's very highly likely, in my opinion, that Nicole Shanahan is going to be his running mate. She was married in 2018 to Google co-founder. So this is 2018. They separated in 2021. They divorced in 2023. So I have to say, if these people, Sergey Brin he's a Russian originally, and he's an American now and everything. He started Google as a co-founder. But these guys have been dinking around with our elections for so long that it's become kind of commonplace. I mean, 2008, by the way, 2008, look back at that. That was a big, big, big meltdown. This is when we really big companies that the Congress said, oh, they're too big to fail, and so they bailed them out with taxpayer dollars and everything. This caused political careers to be ended. People said, no, they're not too big to fail. Well, maybe they were dinking around with our elections to make sure they manipulated as much as they could at that point. I don't know. But it's really interesting to me that this Nicole Shanahan, a Chinese immigrant, well, she's born of Chinese immigrants, I'm having trouble tracking down whether her dad was here for a long time before, but her mom had her within 2 years after getting here. So anyway, it's so interesting, the web that is woven. And by the way, what caused the rumored cause of the divorce between Sergey and Nicole was a brief affair between Elon Musk and Nicole. I mean, it's like, holy cow. You couldn't make this stuff up. Now, Nicole and Elon both deny the rumors to it. No romantic stuff, all that kind of stuff with them. And Elon says that Sergey is still a good friend of his, and they visit regularly, blah, blah, blah. But the webs that are woven today are so inextricably knotted together in a Gordian knot, it just absolutely blows my mind. Now, so it sounds like... this Google stuff has been dinking around with things long before the 2020 elections, but this is the big tech stuff. Last Monday, when we were on the air together, we talked about this big thing before the Supreme Court, where the big tech companies kind of on the block, if you will, with government saying, you know, you got to censor this, you got to do this and that and the other. I personally believe the big tech companies and the government are collaborating together to decide what needs to be censored. I mean, it is just an inextricably woven together web of deceit that's being basically a net that's cast over us to bring us into tyranny, shackles that are being forged to put us into that tyranny. It is bizarre to me. And when you started talking about Google, I thought, no, wait a minute, Sergey Brin. Oh, wait a minute, Nicole Shanahan. Oh, wait a minute, the presidential election. This is all weird, man. And the Supreme Court and the First Amendment being violated, and it just baffles me how we could have let ourselves be so baffled for so long. You know, bamboozled, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, I kind of took it off tangent a little bit there, but
your point is these people are all involved in very, very strange, immoral, perverted behavior. And then they're given the top control of the United States from a manipulation point of view. Big tech in bed with election fraud, in bed with, and it goes on and on. Listen to this. They say 96% of its employees at Google donations went to Democrats. So according to the MRC, the Media Research Center, the company utilized its power to help push to electoral victory the most liberal of candidates, while at the same time targeting their opponents for censorship. Okay, now, I'm not really a left-right guy, meaning I'm not really, you know, I don't have a problem with saying, well, we're going to promote the Democrats and not the Republicans or whatever, because I don't believe in the Republican or Democratic parties at all. The parties are the problem. But I bring this up because, look, 96% of the Google employees donating to very liberal candidates and promoting them with their algorithm, while at the same time restricting, using their algorithm to restrict anybody with conservative views? I don't believe it falls along the red-blue Republican-Democrat lines. But I do believe that it's a battle in the culture war. And those who want to pervert the culture and jettison the safety of God's law culture, if you will, and turn it into a godless culture, 96% of them literally not only putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to donating to their favorite candidates, but then using the algorithm for one group and against another group is the problem. And now the Media Research Council, they're one of the most credible people doing this long, detailed study about this and coming out. And Google's kind of silent on it right now, but they claim it's not true in the past, but now they're kind of silent as more evidence mounts. The problem is the Republicans should be doing something about this in the House and saying, hold on, we got a problem. You've committed criminal activity. You've used your search engines to whatever. But remember, the government, the Congress built Google. They funded Google. Google is a creation of, and I can't remember, I think it's the CIA put funding together that created this private company that invested in the high-tech things. And well, Congress controls the budgets for it all. So I hold Congress ultimately responsible, and now they're not doing anything to stop it. They're too busy spending you into oblivion with a $1.2 trillion spending bill, violating their own rules to get it passed. This is the kind of stuff we're seeing, Doctor.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the webs we weave. I mean, you know, you say, oh, 96% of the Google family. What about the Koch family, the Koch brothers? $400 million in the 2018 midterm elections. I mean, come on, people. I mean, this kind of stuff, they're buying their political power with their wealth. And this kind of stuff, the Republic, we just talked a few minutes ago about how the Republicans are selling out this thing on the this omnibus funding bill that they're doing, violating their own rules to do it and to telling lies and everything to the public. I mean, this kind of stuff people need to get upset about. I mean, the Koch brothers, if I recall correctly, they're very much involved in trying to rewrite the Constitution. Okay.
Yeah, so shame on them for it.
Yeah, what's worse? I mean, dinking around with an election how many times they did, but since 2008 until now, and the Koch brothers trying to buy a Constitution convention. I mean, come on, kids. By the way, good news, I think today, two things. One is New York a few days ago withdrew all requests for a convention, okay, going back to 1789 because of the ploy that was happening. New York abandoned all of that. They're run by Democrats, you might be aware of. The other thing is that Idaho has declined, let's put it that way, to call for a convention this year. They adjourned their legislative session today. So good news on those things. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, we occasionally need to throw a good news thing in here. But there's way too much bad news out there. And we've got to start realizing that we, the people, are really in charge of what ought to be happening. And we need to stand up and be counted.
All right, I just got an email from the New York Times, and it relates to how we started out the show, believe it or not. This is how real time we are on the topics and the issues at hand. Headline, Trump gets financial lifeline as media merger is approved, doctor. So there you have it. The merger of Donald Trump's social media company with a cash-rich shell company raises his wealth by millions and solidifies his finances because it gives him a source of cash to deal with his mounting legal bills. Think about that. New York Times just came out.
It's real time stuff. It's dynamic, but I'm not sure that this is going to bail us $450 million or $500 million, half billion, whatever you want to call it.
No, it's not, but here's the point. We want to believe that Donald Trump is the people's guy and that he's just getting attacked and how wrong it is. No, the deep state's in bed with the Donald big time, folks, is the truth. And the fact is, every time he gets close to the brink, he gets bailed out in some way or another by the same people that are prosecuting him, by the same people that claim that he's, you know, all these problems. It's not true, but they love to keep this on the brink. The truth is, they know that he's not guilty. The truth is, they're giving him lifelines left and right. Somebody's doing it. It's not all happening by accident, doctor. Don't believe that for a second.
No, it's kind of like the drama continues. I mean, it's a soap opera in so many ways, and it's kind of like they get to play another season. I mean, you know, you think about the TV series and all that, you know, a season. Okay, well, everybody
exactly
just kind of
right.
gets
it's
pulled
like The
off.
Apprentice real time, yeah. next season. But it's reality now. It's not just a reality show. It's like day-to-day reality broadcast live. But I submit to you that Donald's being protected. So many things at the last second could not break in his favor if it weren't so.
Well, again, it's serendipity, very fortuitous. I kind of tend to not believe that. If it happens in politics, it was planned. Something always
That's right, and that's why I say that if Donald always gets a break, always gets another lease on life, so to speak, it's by design. It's not because, the conservatives won. Good for Donald. He beat them at their own game and all this stuff. Don't believe that, folks. It's because it's by design. I'm convinced of that, doctor, and I want people to know that.
I agree, but this is more than just a Donald Trump thing. I mean, honestly, you look at defense funding for Ukraine. You look at the deals that are cut behind the deal. We're going to fund Ukraine. We're going to fund Israel. You watch. A bubble will pop, and suddenly there's going to be a lot of billions of dollars drop on those two warfare states. You just watch it. And all of the moaning and groaning we've all been doing about it to try and stand with principle and everything. Oh, no. They just postponed it until it's going to be as bad as they can make it without pushing us over the brink. That's the way they always do it. So we got to say, no, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Us, we outnumber them. If we, the people, stood up and said, no, it's not on our watch. We're going to preserve our republic. It would be preserved. We just need more friends to kind of foster that concept.
That's for sure. And that's why this radio program exists, really, Dr. Bradley, to make sure that that happens, right?
Well, I certainly believe that's at a core value that we're attempting to foster. And we're pretty open about our biases.
And you can debate how successful we are, too. You can say we're not very successful. And, you know, I submit to you that I see over and over and over, though, our influence mirrored in the mainstream press. They never give us credit for it or anything else, but the topics we bring up and the points we hammer home and everything else find their way into places that are shocking in a good way. So you know what? We don't need to be in the limelight. That's not the goal. We're not interested in being rock stars. We're not interested in priestcrafts. We're interested in the truth getting out. And good news, it is getting out more every single day, doctor. That's the point. When you had a perverted promotion of sex agenda violating your children and everything else, when has it been taken on our side of the discussion so clearly now? I mean, you're literally hearing our side of the story now. Where in the past, with the gatekeepers at the mainstream press, you never heard our side of the story. Now you are. So is it enough? No. But is it the start of the American people knowing the truth and then being able to make decisions according to that truth? Absolutely. Do we take singular credit for it? Of course not. But do we believe we've had an impact? We sure pray so and trust in God to prosper our efforts to make it so, sir.
Absolutely. And as I often point out, I have this placard, if you will, in front of me constantly as we're doing these broadcasts. George Washington's statement, there is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily. That is, hopefully we're truth seekers. And it takes us down different paths. We indict religions. We indict political parties and different candidates.
Well, they really indict themselves. We just call it out, right?
we bring it out. And when AOC said something that makes sense, finally, you brought that up today. And the fact of the matter is that in her calling out and asking for specificity, she did a really poor job of asking for it, by the way.
Well, there's no question. But at least she did. I mean, I've watched her for like 10 years, and I can't find a single thing I agree with her on. But I finally found one. And, you know, hey, at least she's right. We do need specificity on this. We do need details. We do need to put up or shut up. It applies broader than she made it. She's a poor delivery of whatever she articulates. But for once, she's actually right. And we need to bring this up. Republicans, I'm saying to you now, get off your spending us into oblivion. Dig into this and either put up or shut up. Come on now. We need the truth before the election so people can know who to vote for. And I don't think with RFK Jr. and this clown female he's thinking about picking, I don't think that's the way to go either, doctor. I like RFK Jr., but he won't even come on the radio with us. I don't know if he's chicken or busy or what he thinks he is. Thinks he's too highbrow for it. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I'm saying he couldn't. I don't. Why would he pick her?
Well, we could talk about that sometime. I think that he has his logic, and he hasn't done it publicly yet. But I think we could discuss what went into that thought process, good or bad.
Roger that. All right, 2 hours in the can. We're flat out of time. Thank you so much. Learn more about Dr. Scott Bradley's Collegiate Series to Preserve the Nation and his weekly webinars, all at freedomsrisingsun.com, libertyroundtable.com for our website, our nationally syndicated network, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. God